It's around this time that the figures in Hawaii history come to life in the cemetery as part of Pupu Theater. This year, things are a little different, and the performances will come online. The theme is Woman's Triumph, celebrating 100 years of the 19th Amendment. Take a listen.
My name is Wilhelmina Kekela Okalani Nui Witteman Dowsett. I was born on March 8, 1861 in Lehui, Kauai. By the early 20th century, the American West states started granting women the right to vote. And I and other like-minded women would gather and give talks designed to raise awareness. I hosted a special meeting at my home to adopt a constitution and bylaws. Imagine my surprise when one of the members exclaimed that, up to the present time, the Native women have not known just what steps to take and therefore have made no progress. But with Mrs. Dowsett as the president, the cause will surely advance. I accepted the position with equal measure of thrill and anxiety. And thus, the National Women's Equal Suffrage Association of Hawaii was born.
That was Karen Kaulana portraying Wilhelmina Kekela Okalani Nui Dowsett, who led the largest suffrage organization here in the islands. Kaulana spoke to us about how she felt the character reached out to her.
We're doing this in the backdrop of this COVID-19 pandemic and everything going on in the world. And I personally was transitioning back to work after being home, working from home for 2.5 months. So my life was really crazy. And so I was trying to learn the script and not really having a lot of time to research her or getting to know her as I usually do when I get a part like this. But this is how strong Wilhelmina is. Every time I would go to work on the script, something would happen that would take me away from the script. I would get like an emergency call, or at one point a whole shelf fell down in my house. I mean, everything kept taking me away from the script. And I thought, what is going on? This is so weird. Every time I go to open the script. So a friend of mine recommended that I, you know, take some time, pray, and talk to her, because obviously she's blocking me from doing it. And I took some time. I did some research. I looked at her pictures. I looked at her information online. And I realized that her Hawaiian name was not in the script. And her birthday, it was a typo. It was a mistake. And I thought, this is an indication of how strong this woman is. She kept taking me away from the script so that I would correct it and I would figure out what was missing. And nothing against Kevin Keaveney, who wrote the script, who wrote a beautiful script. It's amazing and beautiful and unfolds her story so beautifully. But this, I've never had this experience doing cemetery theater before, when you portray a real person, that they really come through and they are with you. And so getting to know her has been an amazing experience, because I really felt she wanted her Hawaiian middle name as part of it, because she talks about how she's really these two pillars that brought her up were her Caucasian father, her German father, immigrant father, and her Hawaiian mother, and both were equally important to her. That's why she wanted her Hawaiian name in it. And then also her birth date. She wanted to make sure her birth date was correct. And so until I took that time to research her and to really delve in and to get to know her, then I was able to finally get through the script and memorize the script and really be able to tell her story. So that's how strong a woman she is. She kept making things happen in my life until I really delved into her life and got to know her.
So something was not right, but you felt guided.
Very much so. I was very guided. And so it just showed me how strong a woman she is. And, you know, she started the National Equal Women's Suffrage Association of Hawaii in 1912, which is right around the time when this movement was taking off in a lot of places. And she was inspired by Carrie Chapman Catt, who was the president of the International Women's Suffrage Association and was making a 19-month world tour and promoting the suffrage movement. And she was inspired by her, and she heard that this woman, Carrie Chapman Catt, was going to come to Honolulu on her journey home. And so she cabled an invitation to have her lecture here. And that's how she started organizing. She started to organize a formal group to hear this woman speak, and she kind of put together that organization. And it was not until 8 years later, in 1920, when the 19th Amendment passed, that women got the right to vote. So she worked on this for almost a decade.
When you were doing the research, what did you learn about the times and pushback, if there was any pushback?
In that 8 years between her beginning her work in this movement, in the women's suffrage movement, all the way to the time of the passage of the 19th Amendment, there were many ups and downs, and there was a lot of pushback. They had some supporters. Hawaii was a territory at that point. And throughout the islands, people were supportive of women getting the right to vote. But it took a lot to get people to act on it. It's like people were just saying, oh, yeah, that sounds good. Yes, women should vote. But then to get people to do something about it was another story. And some of the pushback were from men in politics. You know, they would bring up things like, well, what are the women going to do if they have the right to vote? They're going to have to be subjected to all the duties as the men. So they're going to have to sit on juries. And what are they going to do with their children? You know, they're going to have to leave their children with friends and family or with hired nurses. How are they going to perform these duties? Some of the men also thought that once the women have the right to vote, it might change the dynamics of politics, because women may not vote in the same ways that other men might vote, and they might lose their seats. So there was some uncomfortability about that. And there was a whole political machine that didn't think women getting the right to vote would be a good idea, because it would be a risk to them being turned out of their political positions. So there was some pushback, a lot of pushback, until, in fact, in Hawaii, they worked and worked to get suffrage here before it was changed federally, and they did not succeed. They did not succeed, so it was rejected.
So can you talk about the history of women's rights in the monarchy?
Well, in the Hawaiian monarchy, many people had the right to vote. It was very inclusive. So even, you know, Asian immigrants, a lot of people could vote and participate, especially in the Queen's era, but even before that, Queen Liliʻuokalani. Many, many people were given the right to vote, including women, men. It was very diverse, all the different nationalities. And then when the Bayonet Constitution of 1887 happened, some of those rights were taken away. Hawaiians were able to vote, but in a limited manner. And there was much more required of them to vote. They had to earn a certain amount of salary. They had to be able to read and write English. They had to, there was all these requirements all of a sudden with the Bayonet Constitution of 1887. And Asians, the vote for Asians was taken away. So Asians could no longer vote.
So as far as history, though, women did have that place and that voice during the monarchy, lost it during annexation.
Yes.
And so while the rest of the U.S. marks this milestone, Hawaiian women really were ahead of their time.
They were queens and chiefesses. They created and passed laws. They formed government. So, yes, they were already leaders of nations for us in Hawaii.
That was actor Karen Kaulana talking to us about Hawaii's voting history and the Pupu Theater event underway now. You can watch the suffrage performances online, but the Mission House Museum is asking that you kokua and pay what you can. Register and you can view the performances of five notable women, but only until Sunday this weekend. For links, head to our website.